Hello, everyone. This is National Master, Premier Chess CEO, Evan Rabin, and I'm very excited to be here on episode 216 of the Premier Chess Podcast, where every week we interview great professionals who have found their passion in whatever it is that they do, whether it be a chess player, run a nonprofit, be an attorney, etc. That's what we do. So this week we have a colleague, Paul Rubin, who's the founder and executive director at Camp Good Morning, a Long Island-based 501c3 nonprofit that provides free bereavement camp programs for Long Island children who are coping with death of a parent and or a sibling. He's been doing, a lot of great work in the last, several years. He started the camp quite a while ago. Almost 5 years ago, and been doing a lot of other counseling and other work, for many years. And my pleasure having you on. How's everything going?
Everything's been going good, Evan. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And I'm very grateful, to have met you, recently in your organization through the All Kids Fair a couple months ago. In Long Island, and it's great to connect. So first off, tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got the organization started.
Sure. Well, Camp Good Morning wasn't my first trip. Originally I was a television producer, and I've always been involved in volunteer work, and throughout the years volunteering, doing different things. And I wound up volunteering at a camp for kids with cancer and their siblings. And I did that for about 5 years. And then I was introduced to a bereavement camp for children who are coping with the death of a parent or sibling. And my very first, as a volunteer, you're paired one-to-one with a camper. And my very first camper was a child who lost his dad in 9/11. So that was a very emotional and eye-opening experience, being with children who have lost a parent or a sibling. And over the years, I wound up going back to school. I wound up getting my master's in school counseling, advanced certificate in mental health counseling. And over the years, I just wanted to create something similar to the camp that I had volunteered at, but here on Long Island, because there wasn't anything like it here.
Wow. And I think it's always great to see people having a need and then also acting on it. One podcast episode we had with Pastor Bill Wilson, the founder of Metro World Child, my good friend Glisten is his executive assistant. But, he kind of did just a big call to action. He said so many people in this world, have, problems that they, care about and see needs, but then, they don't act. To the contrary, Pastor Bill Wilson was shot 4 times going to places like Afghanistan, Yemen, other crazy places. But, he's just continuing doing what he does because he remembers 50 years ago being picked up on a street corner. And being rescued, and ever since then he feels the need to give back. So what made you not only see a need, but also actually act and start the camp?
Well, I was in order to do this grief work that I was doing, I was traveling to New Jersey from Long Island. I was living in Smithtown at the time, and I was traveling about 2.5 hours, 3 hours to New Jersey for a weekend. And so the travel itself, so we're talking about Friday at rush hour and going into the city and then going over bridges through tunnels. And then on Sunday coming back, usually there was a football game because it was usually in the spring or the fall. So there would either be a football game going on or a baseball game going on. And the traffic, quite honestly, was tremendous. And it never occurred to me to look close to Long Island to see, what was available here. And that's when it just hit. It's like, well, you know, there is nothing like this here. Why not create something so that kids can benefit from the same sort of support? And they don't have to travel outside or over a bridge or through a tunnel, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And sometimes it takes, you know, just, you know, different life events to, you know, get things started. And I did, you know, hear once that, you know, actually one of the biggest factors that can make you stressed is like long commutes. You know, and yeah, of course, you know, last episode, actually, we had my friend Rebecca, who's a psychotherapist, on the podcast. And, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, relieving stress. So that is, you know, obviously important. So before we get into, you know, learn a little bit more about your camp and, you know, the work you're doing, was definitely, yeah, curious about, you know, learning a little bit more about your, you know, production career beforehand. Obviously, it's an exciting time for chess with, you know, Queen's Gambit and, you know, other factors as well. Have you ever, you know, watched Queen's Gambit or other chess films, or have you ever, you know, had any thoughts about, like, you know, some of the chess films?
You know what? I saw In Search of Bobby Fischer. I remember watching that and just being totally amazed by the little boy who played in that starring role opposite, I believe it was Joe Mantegna.
And he was playing Joshua Waitzkin, and his father, by the way, Fred Waitzkin, who actually wrote it, has been on the podcast.
Wow. Yeah. That really kind of opened up my eyes to chess. And it was just really, really interesting. And I also had some opportunities to watch, you know, chess is really good for impulse control. You know, if you don't play the fast game, and forgive me, I really know not much about chess. But I do know that sometimes there's speed chess. I see speed games. And then I see, you know, other times where there's really, everything is really thought through thoroughly and, you know, with the time. And, but when I was interning at a facility for mental illness, chess was one of the things that their clients played. And it was a really good opportunity for clients to really think through before they acted. And I think I really learned a lot from that experience, because it really taught me that, you know, thinking through, as with chess, you know, you have to think about your moves perhaps more than one, two, three steps at a time. And again, I don't know, you know, really much about the game itself, but I saw how this helped those individuals. And I thought I just thought that was tremendous.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it was an amazing film. You know, of course, the teacher in the movie, Bruce Pandolfini, who is also an advisor to the film, is a close friend and mentor of mine. He's also on the podcast, actually. I know him quite well, actually. I've known him since I was 8.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, you said something also important about, you know, impulse control. You have had, you know, many experiences working with, you know, lots of kids with, you know, different challenges and whatnot. You know, there is, you know, something to be said certainly about chess, you know, teaching, you know, decision-making. A few weeks ago, we had my friend Orin Hudson on the podcast, founder of Be Someone, you know, where he talks a lot about, you know, play chess, you know, don't be on the streets, you know, and he said, you know, I don't know all the slogans offhand, but you know, he said things about, you know, rather than, you know, use drugs, you know, like play chess and whatnot. So in working with, you know, clients and youth that, you know, have been in, you know, very, very, very severe, you know, anxiety and other, you know, situations, having like lost, you know, parents, how do you think something like Just could, help them?
Well, I think, the way I see how it helps it, it's really kind of a form of mindfulness. When you focus on one thing, whenever, I like to share an activity where, whether it's adults or children who might, are really focusing on one specific thing, and they aren't able to get their mind off that, I do this activity of mindfulness where I ask them to just for 30 seconds, look around. If we're sitting in a room, I ask them to look around the room, but without talking, I want them to find things that have the color red in them. And for those 30 seconds, they're looking around the room, they're looking for those things that are red. And after the 30 seconds, I ask them, well, what have you found? And then I ask them, were you thinking about the thing that you are very, very anxious about? And they said, no, not at all. And I think chess has that ability to kind of distract and have them singularly focused on the activity at hand, which really can help them to distract themselves from grief. And some distraction is good. We don't want them to be distracted to the point where it's avoidance, but certainly kids use play and in this case, chess as a way to cope with their grief. Evan, you have to unmute yourself.
Yeah, so, it's important to, be resilient, and so forth, and, move forward, of course. So talking about, the camp, I know it's a free, overnight weekend camp, for kids 7 to 17. Can you tell us a little bit more and, how people might be able to get involved?
Sure. We are not only looking for, but we're accepting campers right now for our September camp, which is only a couple of months away. And we're also accepting volunteer applications. So if there are compassionate, kind individuals who would like to come out and support grieving children, we run a two-day training that pretty much informs them a lot about what they're about to experience, although we can't mimic what they're going to experience, but we can teach them as much as we can about grief and grieving children. So that's one of the things. And during the camp weekend, which is 3 days, it's a Friday through a Sunday, the kids not only it's really a traditional camp setting. So we actually have it at a regular camp called Camp Aquatic in Santa Mauritius. But the thing that makes us different is that we run 4 support groups throughout the weekend, and they're age appropriate. So we just like in a regular camp, how kids are broken out into ages. They might be 7, 8, 9s and 10s, 11 to 15, so on and so forth. We do the same thing. And kids at different developmental ages grieve differently. So it's really important that we place children in the developmental group that best suits them. So we actually have those 4 support groups throughout the weekend. One is on a Friday, we have 2 on Saturday, and then 1 on Sunday. And each support group focuses on a different topic or theme. The kids have the opportunity to share their brief story if they want to. They have the opportunity to identify and explore their feelings, learn about different types of coping skills, both healthy and unhealthy, because we want want to make sure that kids know both sides of using, you know, coping skills. We want to make sure that they stay away from the unhealthy and really focus on the healthy. And then finally, in the last support group, we focus on how can they stay connected to the loved ones that are gone. And still, you know, we like to say that, you know, relationship doesn't die, it just changes. So it goes from having somebody with you to somebody who is no longer with you. And there's just a wonderful book, it's called The Invisible String, that for the younger kids, it helps them to kind of see that a little bit differently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And, you know, it's great work that, you know, you're doing, you know, and it's something that's, you know, obviously unique. I've, you know, worked with, you know, many camps. We've actually done, you know, a lot of camp electives. We also have our own camp, of course, a chess and table tennis camp all summer long, which we're actually doing with my friend Thomas Hu, one of our first podcast guests, actually. Founder of American Youth Table Tennis Association. We're doing that in the city through September 3rd, you know, every week. So, you know, I've definitely not seen, you know, one for, you know, like yours, of course. So, you know, it's great that you're, you saw a need and that, you know, you're pulling through with it. So, really, I wanted to thank you for, you know, taking some time to, you know, talk, you know, about your thoughts of, you know, searching for Bobby Fischer, impulse control, mindfulness, you know, ways to, you know, get involved, you know, with your organization, which is always important, right? You're always certainly fundraising, you know, recruiting, you know, volunteers, you know, it never stops, you know. So is there anything else you'd like to add while you're on the podcast?
No, just, you know, if someone wants to get in touch with us, they can go to our website, which is campgoodmorning.org, and that's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And if they are interested in volunteering, or if they know a child who is grieving, I just want people to remember that it's absolutely free to the families. The families do not pay a penny. It's all based on donations and fundraising. So, you know, come on out. Have a good time, but also do an incredible blessing for kids who are grieving.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you know, look, it's very important. Obviously, it's not something I could, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, you know, relate to 100%. You know, look, I've lost, you know, cousins, I've lost good friends, I've lost, you know, other family members, but, you know, to lose one parent, especially as a kid, you know, it's terrible, you know, of course. So, you know, shout out to you for, you know, the work you're doing. Yeah, you know, thank you for your time and, you know, look forward to speaking to you soon.
You bet. Thank you so much, Evan. And congratulations on all the great work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you.